Let's take our Bibles once again and turn to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. As we go through this book also, this is our next passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 3. I'd like to look at verses 11 and 12 today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. John said, this is the announcement that you have heard or you have understood, not only in your ear, but in your heart, from the beginning or the commencement. Okay, but the commencement or the beginning of what? He said, this is the message that you heard from the beginning. Well, from the beginning of your conversion. From the beginning that God gave you life. And you truly heard it with an ear to hear, a new ear. This is the message that we've heard. This is the announcement that you heard from the beginning of life, your life, my life, that we should love one another. Now, until a sinner, and we're all sinners, we've got some unconverted sinners and we've got some converted sinners, but all men this side of glory are sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. But a sinner, when he's converted, he's given a heart of understanding. Then he begins to know in heart the things of God. Those things concerning the Lord's will and purpose to show mercy and compassion to a chosen people through the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, until he's converted, he doesn't know it. He doesn't care. Just, he's oblivious. He's dead to it. But when the Spirit of God moves in power upon an object of God's mercy, as I said, when that old heart of stone and rebellion against God is dethroned, and a new heart, a heart of flesh, not flesh meaning the corrupted nature, but a pliable is what it means, a soft, a tender heart toward the Lord. Then there is found within that regenerated sinner something that wasn't there before. Love. Love. You know, we hear a lot about love. But I'd like to, for just a few minutes, just consider what does the Scriptures have to say concerning love. If you try to describe love, you say, okay, tell me what love is. Well, it's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's just. Well, what does God say it is? You know, we're commanded to love one another. And we're told that love is the attribute or the character of a believer. And the absence of it is the telltale sign of spiritual death. Listen to this, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, or let us exhibit the evidence of love. For love is of God. He's the origin of it. For love that is of God, and everyone that loveth, everyone that exhibits the characteristic of what Scripture says is love that we're going to look at in just a second. They're born of God. They're regenerated by the grace of God. And they know God. The Spirit of God has revealed them. This is life eternal, that they might know, that they might see and perceive and understand something. I know we see through a glass darkly, but we see. We know. We know something. We know God is just. We know He's holy. We know He's right. We know He does as He will. We know that. That's knowing God. That's knowing the God of this Bible. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not, he that does not exhibit the evidence of what the Scripture says is love, he knoweth not God. He's lost. Listen to this. I'm going to give you the definition of love. For God is love. God is love. Now, I know what we call love and we try to describe love. The Scripture says this is love. God. God. Now let's just pause for just a second and consider what the Spirit of God has moved upon the Apostle John to write. God is love. He is not merely said to be benevolent, though He is, but He is benevolence itself. Never was a more important declaration made than this. Never was a greater revelation made in so few words. I mean, somebody could take a book, and try to describe love. Here's how the Scripture says it. God is love. And in the darkness of this world's sorrow and sin, love reigns. Love rules. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He doeth as He will. He rules in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And God Almighty, who is revealed to be love, just, holy, good, right, love. And the reason that love is exhibited in a believer is because God is found to be in that believer. He who is love. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6:18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now here's the distinguishing characteristic of a believer. The one in whom God dwells. God who is love. That believer loves God. Is that too simple? That believer loves the God of this Bible. Why? Because love Himself dwelleth there. God is love. And where God is, he that loves knows God, because God's there. He that loveth not, what do you mean? He that doesn't love the God of this Bible. He that doesn't love God's people. He that doesn't love God's gospel. He that doesn't love God's will and God's purpose and God's revelation. He that doesn't love. He that loveth not God. He doesn't know God. So that distinguishing mark of a believer is that he knows and loves God because God is love. And everyone that is born of God, this is what John said, everyone born of God exhibits that love. How does a cat act? He acts like a cat. You know, a dog acts like a dog. And a believer acts like a believer that loves because God. Now remember, love is only known by the effects that it produces. You know, you could tell somebody, I love you. But if you don't treat them with love and respect and consideration and all these attributes, all these ways, what you say, you know, I don't hear what you're saying because of what you're doing. That love, James said it like this: show me your faith without works. Faith without works, that's what James says. Faith without works is dead. Somebody said, I believe God, I love God, I know I believe this. Well, they're going to walk like a believer. They're going to struggle like a believer struggles because he sees the presence of sin within him. But he walks like a believer walks. A believer, he doesn't find any confidence in himself. He finds all his confidence in the Lord. He loves to be with God's people. He acts like a believer. Well, knowing that love is exhibited, not merely by what we say, but what we do. This is what you believe. What you believe is what you do. That's what you believe. You can say anything you want to. This is what you do. I mean, this is what you are by what you do. Hold your place there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We can't even go without looking at this precious passage again. Here, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to write a chapter in this book of Corinthians concerning love, talking about the characteristic of love. Now remember, this is only reason that any of this characteristic these characteristics are found is because love himself resides. And love himself is manifested. Love, you can call it an emotion. Love is a person. It's God. Love is God. That's the essence of love. Not an emotion. Though I understand that thinking. I really do. But scripturally speaking, this is love. God residing within. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's, like 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 4. Charity. How is God manifested in a believer? Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Here's what I wrote. Love endures long and is patient and kind with others. Love is not envious and doesn't boil over with jealousy. It's not boastful, vainglorious, and it doesn't display itself in a haughty way. Now let me tell you this. Every believer has got that characteristic in it. But boy, I'll tell you, that old man will fight it tooth and nail. There is a battle that's going on. There's two natures in a believer. There's the presence of sin that's still there, and there's a new man that exhibits this characteristic right here. Verse 5. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Brother Henry wrote this. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude. It doesn't act unbecomingly. Love, God in us, does not insist upon its own rights or its own way, and it's not self-seeking, it's not touchy, it's not fretful, resentful, it takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to wrong that it suffers. Now, buddy, that's love. Lord, help me. Is there a struggle with you too, with this? This characteristic's there. God's people know Him. That characteristic is there. But boy, that struggle. Look at verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. Now, what did we just look at a few minutes ago? What is iniquity? It's that which is contrary to what God says. That's iniquity. It's contrary. It rejoices not in a lie on God, but rejoices in the truth. Isn't that so? Isn't that so? You that know Him, don't you rejoice in the gospel of the truth Himself, Christ who is truth? Look at verse 7. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. It bears up under trials. It's ready to believe the best of every person. It's faithful under all circumstances and resists the trials of the flesh to forsake or harm the brethren. Remember, love, again, is what it does, not what it says. There's a struggle. I promise you there's a struggle that's going on. But every believer possesses that which God says he possesses. You say, well, I can't hardly see it. Well, thanks be unto God, God does. Thanks be unto God, the Lord sees it. I know we struggle. Our love toward God Almighty is a result of His love toward us. And this love must be divinely nourished. Have you ever heard this saying, you know, I think He just killed. He just killed love. You know what it's talking about? Someone, after a while, you just get to a point where you just, you know what? I'm done. Killed it. Thanks be unto God, this one will never die. But the Scripture sets forth that God has provided the means of nourishment. What is it? Well, what we're doing right here. Here we are. We're hearing the gospel. I need to be fed again. But didn't I just hear this last Wednesday? Last Sunday? Didn't I? Yeah. And by the grace of God, we'll hear it again next Wednesday, next Sunday. Because the nourishment that we receive from hearing of the bread of heaven, Christ Himself, the gospel. That's we must hear it. We sing songs. Brother Gary comes up. We sing songs of praise unto our Lord. We sing praises unto His name. We read the Scriptures. Larry came up here. And what does God have to say? Nourishment. Feed me. Lord, feed me again. And in prayer, we were led in you know, congregational praying. He was speaking, but every believer in their heart, they call on the Lord. Even now, you'd be sitting right here right now praying, and who knows? The Lord does. The Scripture sets forth that the Lord nurtures us by His means, hearing the gospel, reading His word, and the greatest manifestation of love that is found within a believer is that manifestation toward God's people. We love the Lord. That's what we know we do. That's what Peter told the Lord. Lord, you know I love you. Lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know. You know. But let me tell you how the love of God is known in this world. Because we can't see, perceive, touch right now, Almighty God. We believe Him by faith. But do you know what I can see and feel and know of God? Right here. Right here.
His body. His body. His people.
Hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive the love of God? Because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. How? How, Lord? You have love one for another. You're long-suffering with them. You're gentle with them. You're patient with them. You pray for them. That's how you perceive the love of God. By this shall all men know. Love gives. Love gives. That's what it does. Love gives. God so loved the world. Everybody with that? Nope. The arrangement. The order. I've told you that before. God loved the order. The arrangement of man. And He purposed that mankind was not going to be obliterated. Leave mankind to himself, and he will be. God loved the order of man. He loved the order of man. So what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son to redeem out of the order of man an elect of people that He selected. And He was going to show mercy. And whosoever believeth in Him, who's going to believe? Everyone that the Father gave the Son. That's what the Son said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, love. God dwelling in a believer. Love. It's faithful. Faithful to God Almighty and faithful to God's people. Loyal, respectful, kind. And if it must give the ultimate sacrifice, it'll do whatever it has to do. It'll lay down its life, need be. Brethren, love brethren, because God loves the brethren, and God resides within, and God Almighty, who is love Himself, manifests Himself through His people by loving them. God loves them. So God in us loves one another. Back in 1 John, last verse. Not as Cain. That's not how, you know. Cain and Abel had a brother. Cain had a brother. His name was Abel. How do God's people love one another? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why? Why did Cain kill Abel? Why? What was it all over? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Our next verse, I'll, Lord willing, look at it next time. Marvel 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. I said this before. What is it that an unbeliever hates in a believer? He hates love. He hates God. He hates God. He does not love the God that you love. And God in you, the hope of glory, is resented and despised by this world. John 13:34, a new commandment. Not new that you heard it for the first time, but it's new every time you hear it. I give unto you that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. That characteristic, who is the manifestation of that which is within a believer, is set forth in the Scriptures as love. And God is love. So when we talk about loving one another, here's the source of our love. It's the Lord Himself in each of His people. They manifest God Himself loving them. And therefore, we love Him who first loved us. And we love each other, don't we? May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. All right, dear.